We learned about what legs mean in the Lashna Chazal. He said the leg is the most vulnerable part of a person. And we saw that in two ways. We saw that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that the entire this colossal structure that was a statue in the shape of a man was toppled by a stone that struck it in the legs. So you see that the nations, they all fall down because of a blow to the legs. I mean, whatever that means. So you see that that's their vulnerability. And then we also saw that we have the same exact vulnerability because Yaakovina was wounded in the leg. And that manifested itself in the Jews who failed the test of Tzadik Miraloi combined with Rosh HaVetayvla. You know, the combination of those two things was Midas HaHait. So that means that the legs are vulnerable. So the same way the Bnei Yisrael fell in that area, so ultimately the four nations are also going to fall in the same area. That when you attack a person, so you attack him where he's weakest. So instead of attacking the part of the person which is strong, like the upper parts of the body, so attack him while he's traveling, attack him, attack his support beams. You know, you want to take down a bridge, so then don't try and blow up the bridge by putting the bomb on the actual tarmac of the bridge. You know, cut the suspension cables. It's, you know, just, you know, you want to take out something. Even so, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Chazal. He was 10 amos tall. And he killed Yigmal HaBashan. As tall as Moshe Rabbeinu was, 10 amos tall. That's, you know, that could be 20 feet tall. That's tall. But he killed Yigmal HaBashan. Yigmal HaBashan. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come up to Yigmal HaBashan's toe. You go to the leaders of Chazal. He jumped up 10 amos. He himself was 10 amos tall, and he had a sword that was 10 amos long. So it's 30 amos, and he struck Agmel HaBashan in the leg. The leg went down. He went down. If he'd strike a blow to the upper body or to the head, he wouldn't go down. It would bounce off. It wouldn't inflict the damage that's necessary to take him down. But the entire Yigmal HaBashan was on the legs, and he knocked out the legs from under it. So that's what we learned until now. As life goes on, we'll understand this hopefully more and more. But let's move on. I mean, this month we've covered a lot. Yaakov Avinu is a stone. We discussed what stones are. We discussed what legs are.
Right. It's interesting. In the same, I think what Rabbi G quoted, the same, what's it called, Medrash, where he jumped up to Tamamos and Og was also, he picked up like a mountain to kill an Israel, and he actually was killed by like a fire rock.
An Evan. Yes, he was killed by an Evan. There's Evan on top, and a blow to the legs on the bottom. Excellent. It's not the same, Lumaisa, because in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the stone hit the leg. But the Yigmal HaBashan, it was not a rock, it was a mountain, actually. And it fell around his head. When he tried to remove the mountain from his head, his teeth grew out, and they were like an anchor. He couldn't remove the mountain from his head, because his teeth extended from his mouth. It was like a grappling hook, you know. You know what a grappling hook is? You can't do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu struck him and killed him. So it's not an exact parallel. Alright, Vaita. The Maral brings two Midrashim. The Medrash. This is a Medrash on Parshas Chukas. It's about a Paraduma. And the Torah says, the Paraduma Zipporah, Aduma, it's red, Tamima, it's blemish free, it's whole, Tamima it's whole, Ein Bamum, it's blemish free, Shle'olololol, but there's never any yolk on it. This is going to be a cow, it has to be red, it has to be whole, blemish free, and no yolk. Zok the Medrash. Parah Zumitraim.
If it can't be a yolk, it's a cow.
Yeah. Parah Zumitraim. The word Parah is Egypt. Mitraim is the mother of the four nations. Anything that the four nations, Babel, Parah, Samada, Yavan, and Edom got, they got it from Mitzrayim. They weren't original. The four nations were not original. Each one took something from the culture of Mitzrayim. So Babel took what it took, and Parah Samada took what it took, and Yavan took what it took. They took from the host. Mitzrayim was like the host. It was the mother. It was the source of all the four evils. Parah, Shenamer Egla Yefefiya Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Yirmiyah calls Mitzrayim a cow. And the pasuk also calls Mitzrayim a donkey. There's another pasuk that calls Mitzrayim a horse. Each one means something different. It's a different aspect of Mitzrayim. But this pasuk in Yirmiyah calls Mitzrayim a cow. Egla, Yifefiya, Mitzrayim. Aduma, Zubavel. Shenema ad to Reisha de Dehava, because in Nebuchadnezzar's statue, Bava was the head, and the head was made of gold, and gold is red. It's reddish. Gold is reddish. Gold is red. Gold is red. It's a red gold. It's a red gold. Tamima? Whole? What's whole? Zumadai. This is Madai. Why is Madai considered whole? Amar Chia Bar Abba Malamed. The Malchay Madai Tzmim Haya. The kings of Madai were whole. Ein La Kadosh Baruch Aleim Alavayis Alilim. Kadosh Baruch has one tyrant on them. They worshipped idols. Shekib La Me'avaseyam Bavad. But they only did it because of tradition. They're worshipping idols, but they don't believe in it. They're doing it because their father did it. It's their minig. They have a minig to worship idols. So that means they're not real idol worshippers. The Medrash is praising the kings of Madai that their Avodah Zarah was superficial at best. So they're called Tamima. Asha'in Ba'mum. No blemish. It's like... There's no blemish. Who's that? Is that Yavan? Yavan, there's no blemish. What do you mean there's no blemish in Yavan? Alexander's Mokdom, because Alexander of Macedonia, Kadcham L'Shem Ratzadik, when he saw Shem Ratzadik, how he come L'Aragloi, he stood up on his feet. Alexander of Macedonia stood up for Shem Ratzadik. V'yama Baruch L'Kei Shem Ratzadik. Blessed is the God of Shem Ratzadik. So when he saw Shem Ratzadik, he saw godliness. This, you know, there are special people in every generation. When you see them, you say, oh, for such a person to exist, there must be a God. There must be a God. And Shem Ratzadik was that person. And he used to stand up for him and he used to say, blessed is the God of Shem Ratzadik. Amalei b'nei paltin today. The people, it's an accoutrement.
Don't we say that at that point they accepted not to serve Avodah Zarah anymore?
They didn't believe in it because they cut themselves off from... this Medrash needs work to understand this. They were saying that the culture of Yavin is they cut themselves off of any connection with the Elyonim, with the upper worlds. So how could Alexander of Macedonia acknowledge that there's a God of Shem HaTzadik? He doesn't believe in that. He doesn't believe that there's a God that we relate to. That there's a God of Shem HaTzadik. And this Medrash is giving him the ultimate compliment, is saying he has no blemishes. Min kami yudaya kai. They said, why are you getting up for a Jew? They asked Alexander, why are you getting up for a Yid? Amalan, he told them, kada no nakas the crowd, because when I go to war, kid musay anachami, I see his image in front of me, v'natzach, and I'm victorious. It's only because of him that I'm victorious. It's that Min HaShemayim, they're showing me the source, the marker of my success. That's because he's in my kingdom. Shimon HaTzadik's in my kingdom. And I'm fighting the war. I'm fighting the war. It's having him in my kingdom gives me the schus to come back victorious from my campaign, from my war. So I stand up for him. So he acknowledged that his atzlacha was due to having someone in his kingdom who had a connection to God. So he has no blemish. I mean, the Gemara says it differently a little bit. This is the Medrash. The Gemara says it differently. The Gemara says that he was on his way to destroy Yerushalayim. He was on his way to destroy the second base of Mikdash. And Shimon HaTzadik put on the big dekun and he went out to greet him. So Alexander was coming from one direction towards Yerushalayim to destroy it. Shimon HaTzadik was coming out of Yerushalayim to show respect to Alexander the Great. When he got closer, so he got off and he bowed down in front of Shimon HaTzadik. He's asking is, how do you reconcile this with a belief system that holds that there's no connection between Shemayim and Eretz? He's clearly acknowledging that there is a connection between Shemayim and Eretz. He's even expressing an awareness and he has gratitude. He's grateful. And according to the Gemara, he didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash because of it. So he's aware of it. It's a bit of schizophrenia here. How do you reconcile that? How does he live with himself? Answer the kasha with a mahalak I heard from him, Rabbi Moshe. He didn't say this mahalak in order to answer this question, but it does answer the question. You see, there's two ways you could understand this encounter. Shimon HaTzadik happened to live in Yavan. Alexander the Great happened to be the king over Yavan. Alexander's fighting the war. And since Shimon HaTzadik lived there, so Hashem said, okay, Alexander's not such a good guy, he's a Russia, but he's fighting on behalf of everyone in his kingdom, and Shimon HaTzadik's in the kingdom also. So he has a schus. So Hashem gave him success, because if Alexander would lose, let's say Alexander would lose against the Egyptians or something, then the Egyptians would overrun Greece, and they might capture Shimon HaTzadik. So all of his success, all of Alexander the Great's success is due to Shimon HaTzadik. And then Agav, he's also, you know, he's also conquering territory and becoming a world ruler and accumulating power. But it's all because Hashem is protecting Shimon HaTzadik. That's one way to look at it. It seems that there'd be a lot easier way and a lot less complicated way of protecting Shimon HaTzadik. If God was you know, God wanted to protect Shimon HaTzadik, then he didn't have to do it in the way that would raise Alexander the Great up so much. Hashem gave the whole world to Alexander the Great. He was the world. The whole world was in his hands. He was the absolute ruler of the entire world. That just not just through conquest, but it's also the Greek philosophy was spread. The entire world absorbed, adopted the Greek belief system. He ruled the world, mind, body, and soul. So that's a lot, you know, there's a lot more going on here than just the protection of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was from the Shiari Knesset HaGdolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was an assemblage made up of members of Klal Yisrael in a period of transition. There were Chachamim and there were Kama Nevi'im. Mehem Kama Nevi'im. I mean, it's not everyone in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was a Navi. There were many Nevi'im. They weren't all Nevi'im. Some were Nevi'im and some were not. And the ones that were not Nevi'im because there isn't going to be any more Nevi'im. They're like a half a generation after the Nevi'im. There were some older members of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that were Nevi'im, and the vast majority of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were from the next generation, and they weren't Nevi'im. And the assemblage was an assemblage.
Throughout
the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Shimon HaTzadik. That was Shimon HaTzadik's time.
There was Nevi'im throughout the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah.
Yes. Nehem Kama Nevi'im. So that was Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, was the chibur between Torah and Nevuah. That's what it was. That they had the advantage of Chacham Adif Minavi, Chachmah Satira, and they also had the advantage of Nevuah, and it was the combination of both. And they're the ones that made Shemon Esrei. They're also the ones that daven that Hashem should be Mevatel the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu creates everything in a balance. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the world for people to choose. Hashem wants people to choose. Hashem wants people to choose Him. Hashem wants to make it a fair choice. If there's Nevuah, that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking directly to the world. Nevuah means Hashem is speaking to the world. So then there has to be other voices in the world at the same time. Otherwise, there's no Bechira. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to all of Nevuah. So there has to be a counterforce there. Why would anybody not be an Eved Hashem if Hashem speaks directly to the world? So there's other voices. Other voices, other heavenly voices, other voices that come from another place. Other voices that speak in the name of a power. There's other powers. There's Kehanim on the side of Kedusha, and then there's Kehanim on the side of Avodah Zarah, and they're also able to transcend nature. They're also able to perform miracles. They're also able to speak in the name of a power. So that makes life very challenging. Zeluma Zebar Lakim. There has to be a force and a counterforce. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to choose Him. Hashem doesn't want to force Himself on us. The Gemara Yuma says that there were so many Anashim Gedolim that they were falling prey to this attraction for their desires. There was like a Churban for Klal Yisrael. The big Gedolei Olam, big Gedolei Olam. That there were Nichshon Avodah Zarah, you have the son of Chizkiyahu HaMelech Menashe, he was Nevi Avodah Zarah. The kings of, the Enochluch of David HaMelech were Nichshon Avodah Zarah. And Anshei Knesset HaGdolah says it's too much. Lehem v'lo yischaron. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us this Yetzahara so that we get rewarded by fighting it, but we're not fighting it. So let's get here so we don't want it anymore. The Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah is a good thing if you fight it and you conquer it. and you choose God over the Avodah Zarah. But if we're losing the battle of every single person that has the Yetzer Hara, big people, huge people, Gibayrim, that they're fighting the Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, and they're losing, so then it's not a benefit anymore. And they davened that Kadosh Baruch Hu should take them back. The Gemara says the fire came out of the Kadesh Kadashim in the form of a lion, and they captured it and they locked it up in a lead vessel. They poked out its whatever they did things to it. Whatever they did things to it, it's a horror of Avodah Zarah.
That was the other guitar.
The Gilei Rice, they poked one eye out. Yeah, but the Yetzer Avodah Zarah, they locked it up. They locked up the Yetzer Avodah Zarah. I mean, just keep in mind that the Yetzer Avodah Zarah came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim. Because the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah comes from a very holy place. It's a very holy thing. To be able to choose God over something else. It's a holy thing. That's when Nevuah ended. Nevuah was only able to be around when there was a Yetzer for Avodah Zarah. Once there's no Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, you can't have Nevuah. Because no one's going to choose Avodah Zarah if you have Nevuah. And there's no attraction for Avodah Zarah. No one's going to do it. And everyone's going to see that the Navi speaks the truth, and Hashem's voice is heard throughout the land, and there's no taiva for anything else, and they're not choosing God anymore. So there's no more Nevuah. Until that time, there was never any belief system that believed that the world could exist on its own without a connection to a higher power. Even the Avodah Zarah believed that you need a connection to a higher power. Their wickedness manifested itself in believing in the wrong power, but they're believing in a power. There's one redeeming factor of an Avodah Zarah, is he doesn't have the belief that you can be self-sustaining. There's got to be a statue, a constellation, something, you know. A crystal, karma. There's got to be something. That's a redeeming factor for an Avodah Zarah. In the times of Nevuah, there was a time of Avodah Zarah. If somebody would come along then and say, the world is self-sustaining. The world could function on its own. There's no connection to a higher power. It's what you see is what you get. If you could see it, it exists. If you can't see it, it doesn't exist. If you can't understand it, it doesn't exist. Greek philosophy. Science. Evidence. Anything beyond that is not part of the reality. Such a belief system doesn't have a place. Because every single person sees with his own eyes a connection to a higher power. Someone that has seen a Navi, someone that has heard a Nevuah, or on the other side, if somebody hears a Navi Habal, that the Navi Habal says that something's going to happen, and it does happen, and it did. They're not going to believe anyone that says that there's no connection to Shemayim. I know there's a connection to Shemayim. I saw the connection to Shemayim. I saw the stairway to heaven. Don't tell me there's no stairway to heaven. Even the Rishayim of that time would regurgitate from their midst the belief system of the Greeks. It's impossible. The world has to come from somewhere. There has to be a power that cares, a power that intervenes, a power that blesses, a power that curses, a power that rewards. Don't give me this narishkeit that the world came from nothing. Maybe you came from a monkey. I didn't. You came from a monkey. When they daven, when they check Neshan Dele daven, that the Yitzhahara of Avodah Zarah should disappear. And they were right. Kadosh Baruch Hu agreed, they were right. So then the wood disappeared. So now what, it's like the ground is fertile ground for Chachmas Yavin. People no longer see any evidence of a connection between Shemayim and Aretz. The Tzaddikim don't see it, the Rishayim don't see it, nobody sees it. And the Greeks come along and say that there is no connection between Shemayim and Aretz, and God does not speak in creation, so then they could, you know, their belief system could be spread. My Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapiro said that when Alexander the Great said that he sees Shimon HaTzadik's visage, face in front of him before all of his campaigns, and his success is due to Shimon HaTzadik, he was referring to this, that he was able to conquer the entire world in the name of his philosophy, in the name of his culture and his belief system, and he spread separatism. there's a spiritual world, there's a physical world, but they're not connected. They don't have anything to do with each other. There might be a God, but he has nothing to do with this world. And it spread like wildfire. And people ran to his side and they supported him. And they didn't only support him because he had a mightier army. They supported him because they believed in his cause. And this is a Kiddush. That Alexander the Great was successful in conquering the world because they believed in him. Because he said that there's no interaction between God and this world. And they said, you're right. We have to capture the world from these people that believe that there is a higher power that intervenes in their life. Those people are crazy. Those people are meshuggah. They've got to go. Alexander, let's go conquer them. He was matzliach because the belief system was accepted. And why was it accepted? Because the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. And who was in the Anshei Knesset HaGdola at the time? Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik HaYem Yishyer Knesset HaGdola. So was Shimon HaTzadik that paved, he understood that Shimon HaTzadik paved the way for him to conquer the world. So he's not going to kill. He's not going to destroy the Bissim Rindash because it's not connected anyway. You know, you have like this secret weapon, like a ray gun that could destroy you. So you want to blow it up, but if it's not plugged in, so what do you care? It's not a threat. You ran out of batteries and there's no replacements. He didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash because it's disconnected. So Beis HaMikdash, when there's Nevuah, is a threat. Because when there's Nevuah, they come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there's miracles, and their bodies don't take up space. They're like frogs. And the bodies, there's 10 miracles, and then there's the Shem Mephirish, and there's all kinds of Ruach HaKadosh, and people at the Simchas Beis Shoeva, people experience Ruach HaKadosh. So that's a threat. But there's no menavua. Shimon HaTzadik and his chaverim took care of that. There's no menavua. There's no metarif avay dezara. Beis HaMikdash is a building. You have to destroy it. Why should you destroy it? What for? It's an empty husk. He was wrong, Lamaisa. I mean, there's always a connection. But just the connection did go underground. The connection went underground.
I mean that Avodah Zarah is going to come back.
So this, so your question was, how could he believe, you know, in Elokim and the Tzaddik and at the same time believe in Greek philosophy? That question is no longer valid anymore. He believed that there was a Bayer Elam. He believed that there was a connection. He believed it. But now the Anshei Knesset HaGdola told the Bayer Shalom to leave the world alone. That's what he believed. So he's okay with God, the God of Shimon HaTzadik, as long as the God of Shimon HaTzadik stays up in Shemayim. So he's going to be successful. He's happy that God is leaving him alone.
It doesn't sound like the Mila that the Medrash is coming.
The problem with the Medrash is saying that he's a
Tamim.
He's
Tamim.
Yeah, Ein Ben Mum. He showed Derech Eretz Hashem Ratzadik. It's not saying that because of his belief in God is. He showed Derech Eretz Hashem Ratzadik. Shaloyola all. No yolk on it. So who gets the bad rap out of these five? There's five things here. There's Mitzrayim, Bavel, Madai, Yavan. They all get a good write up. Red. That doesn't sound so bad. He's red. He's a cow. He's perfect. He has no blemishes. And if the final thing is there's no yolk, that's Edom. Because they don't accept anything on them. So it seems that all the nations do have a redeeming factor. They're wicked. They're Rishayim. But they have some acceptance. Of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yeah, even Yavin. Some acceptance. Even Yavin. They accept a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but yeah, he has respect for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's getting clear. He has respect for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Kaddish Baruch Hu just don't intervene. And he'll even respect someone that serves a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But Edoim, Shalekiblaim also a Kaddish Baruch Hu, they don't accept the yoke. Velodayish lekibla, not only don't they accept it, mecharefes and megadefes, they blaspheme.
That's a mila for a paraduma, though, not to have a yoke.
The Medrash is talking about the tzad among the nations. That's very far from having a mila.
Right, but when we're talking about paraduma, which is a comparison, it is a mila.
Since the pasuk beams, no, it's. There's many midrashim on the same words, and we're going to see some of those midrashim. And he brings a pasuk, Mili b'shamayim, who is in the heavens. So there you see already the parallel, not a parallel, you see a contrast between Yavan and Edom, because Yavan leaves Hashem alone in Shemayim. As long as Hashem stays in Shemayim, they're fine. And Edom goes up to Shemayim to fight with God there. Edom fights with God in heaven. It's not enough for Edom that they should be masters in this world. They want to be masters in eternity. That lelo lamal. Nesata moisa lelos v'akayin. So you give all these things to lelos v'akayin. V'hoitzi yasa mechutz tamach. He takes everything out to... Takes the paraduma and the agudas ezayv and the shni, takes everything out to the machna. Malam shu asa lutcha v'sara shakrach adam v'mechitasei. Hashem is going to take the malach of Edom and throw it away out of his mechitzi. He's going to banish Esav's essence. V'shachad esa lefanav, and Hashem is going to kill the malach of Esav. And this is a Gemara Makkos. Amar b'rakei tevach gadol b'arzi. There's going to be a big slaughter. Basar v'zapar l'einav, Hashem is going to burn it. V'zairus basara, v'vaduchsi v'fachav v'ishtra taltliya, all the noblemen and all the dukes and all the ruling class, they're going to be burnt up. K'maridat amr, ha'inik v'ezvaynach, ma'arvech malachayach v'chavolayach ma'chzik v'bitchayach v'arvim ma'chayach. Amishma v'yitzcha afilo oishim shem mikhali, even the members of the Jewish faith. Bob and Nitra Bukalek, that they joined up with the Romans, they assimilated. Avhem Yipla Belevyam and Biyamah Palasek, they're going to be cast into the depths of the heart of the seas. So Edom is going to be eradicated. They're going to be slaughtered. First of all, they're going to be pushed out. They're not going to have any connection with anything Kaddish. They're going to be banished. Second of all, they're going to be slaughtered. Then they're going to be burnt, they're going to be tossed into the sea. And that includes any Jew that affiliates with them. And there's a Makash himself with them. Okay, Mitchell, next time we'll talk about the other measures on this pasuk.
Thank you so much.